to worship
with you and all you ladies. I thought maybe it'd be nice this year that we would worship both Mother's and Father's Day together.
The parents of many of us have already been deceased.
So we're limited as to how we can still honor our fathers and our mothers. But today's message will show us there's yet a way. But prior to examining the examples of how you and I can honor our father and our mother, we're going to first examine the exhortations to honor them. Now, I didn't include in this message, but Jim, he provided for us this morning in our Sunday school hour, a definition of honor. Let me give you the definition. It means to make heavy or weighty. The idea is to attach importance, to esteem, to consider an individual or something worthy of reverence or respect. Well, we do have some exhortations in the Bible to honor our father and to honor our mother. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, where you were meditating this morning. Exodus chapter 20. This is the first place where we see all of the Ten Commandments given in one place. Moses, commanded by the Spirit of God, wrote these Ten Commandments. Now, the first four commandments, they deal with our relationship with the Lord. For example, there in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And then in verse 5, he says, don't bow down to them. Nor, he says, don't serve them. And then we have the third commandment, that we are not to take the name of the Lord in vain. And then the fourth commandment concerning our relationship with God, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, at this juncture, Moses then turns and addresses our relationship with one another. And he tells us we are to honor the first one, honor our father and mother. And then he tells us, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And then thou shalt not covet. Well, obviously, the one we're going to focus on today is God's commandment to you and to myself that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. Focus with me, please, on verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. The commandment there is, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. In addressing the Jewish nation, he commands them to honor their parents with the promise that they would live a long life in the very land that he was about to give them, the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, you might want to turn there, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, Moses adds a second blessing for those who keep this commandment. He says in Deuteronomy 5, 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord God commandeth thee. Why? That thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Two marvelous blessings are given to the Jews for obeying this commandment. But these same two blessings are not only given to the Jews, but they are also given to the Gentiles, but in reverse order. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the church at Ephesus, which contained both Jews and Gentiles. How do I know that? I've read Ephesians chapters 2 and 3. But he says now in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he says these words, children, Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that, one, it may be well with thee, and two, that thou mayest live long on the earth. The point that I'm trying to make is this. This particular commandment, honor your parents, is given both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's given to both Jews and Gentiles, and it's to be obeyed by all generations. Years ago, there was an individual in this church, and if I was to mention his name, you've been here with us long enough, would remember him. But this gentleman had a problem of dishonoring his mother. How did I know this? Well, because I was times over there visiting with he and his mother, and I heard him. There was times even in my own office, he would disparagingly speak of his mother. And I would, at those times, take out my Bible, admonishing him with one of these passages, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Ephesians chapter 6. Sometimes, very strongly, I would do so, but to no avail. Now, do you think it surprised me when this individual died at the age of 52? Not if I believe the Word of God, and I do believe the Word of God. It was no shock when the Lord took him home. I don't know all the reasons why the Lord took him home, but I know in my heart one of the reasons God took him home was because he dishonored his mother. This commandment has been given to us both in the Old and New Testament. This commandment has been given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me have you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. In this passage, the Lord Jesus, he answers a young man's question. What good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? Matthew 19, verse 17. What good thing might I do that I can have eternal life? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is showing him that a man cannot be saved or save himself by keeping the commandments. He lists out commandments 5 through 10, not in the same order, they're in different orders, but he lists those commandments that deal with our relationship with others. And he mentions the fifth commandment. Look at verse 19. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. So he said, hey, look, if you will enter new life, just keep these commandments. Simple enough, right? It's all he's got to do. Just keep all the commandments all the time. And yet you and I know there's only been one man walked upon this earth that kept all of God's commandments all the time. And who was that? Jesus Christ. He is laying this out, showing this man that he cannot save himself, enter into eternal heaven by keeping these commandments, one of them being honoring thy father and thy mother. And how do we know it's impossible? Well, his disciples, they come to him. And they ask him this question, well, then who can be saved? Man, if you got to keep all these commandments all the time, who's going to be saved? And what does Jesus tell him? Do you see it there? He says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, what's the point I'm trying to make here? The point I'm trying to make is the Lord speaks of the fact that we are to keep these commandments. But by you and I keeping all these commandments, we'd have to do them, all of them, all the time in order to inherit eternal life. That's not one of the blessings you can receive because you cannot keep all the commandments all the time. Those God has chosen, ordained, predestined, ordained into eternal life, by his Spirit, he's going to quicken them, giving them the faith to believe that Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That's Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3. Because no one but Jesus can keep all the commandments all the time. Understand, It's not possible for you to obtain eternal life by striving to honor your father and mother here on earth. But saved or unsaved, you can be blessed here on earth, that it might be well with thee, that you might live a long life, because you strive to keep the commandments, especially the commandment, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment given with this promise. You and I know unregenerate people who live to be long lives, in their 90s, maybe even 100. And you thought to yourself, how could that unregenerate reprobate live so long here on this earth? It may well have been that he kept this commandment of honoring his father and his mother, which brings with it these two promises, old age and blessings here on earth. Now, what happens after that? That's another matter. But look at your purpose. Because the Word of God exhorts us, and it does, Old and New Testament, to honor my father and my mother, you know, I purpose to do so. Now there are blessings for it. Having now established the exhortation to honor your father and your mother, I want to now turn our attention to the examples of how we are going to do it. Now, I didn't give you the definition of my message because I thought that you will see the definition of the honoring as we look at the various examples. Here's what I did find. There are almost 150 references to the word honor in both the Old and New Testaments. There are a whole bunch of Hebrew words. There are a whole bunch of Greek words that are translated honor. When I took my time and I did a word study through these, here's what I found. I found that it reveals at least four different ways. These examples reveal at least four different ways we can honor our Lord, our God, our Father, and also honor others. I want to show you these four examples because you say to yourself, all right, I know I've been admonished. I see the exhortation to honor my father and my mother. But what does that mean? How can I do that? Well, watch. We're going to look at it. The first way, and we're going to go over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. The first way that you can honor your father and your mother is by preferring them. Now, what do I mean by preferring them? Well, take a look at what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says this. Romans 12, verse 10, he says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now, I think you know what it means to prefer one another. It means count them and their desires more important than yourself and your desires. Paul says it something like this in Philippians 2:3, in humility of mind, let each esteem other more important than themselves. You can show preference towards your father and your mother by considering their desires, their wishes, more important than your own desires and wishes. Now, this involves submitting our will to the will of our parents. In other words, you and I can honor our parents by obeying them. You should have got that when we read the commandment in Ephesians 6:1. Remember what we read? There said this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What comes next? Honor thy father and thy mother. One of the premier ways that any and all of us can show preference towards our parents is to obey them, submit ourselves unto them. Listen as I read to you 1 Timothy 6:1, talking about a servant-master relationship. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. When we do not honor our parents, we blaspheme the word of God, because the word of God commands us to honor our father and our mother. A servant can demonstrate that he honors his masters by obeying them, by preferring their wishes over their own wishes. Notice your purpose, please. I purpose to honor my parents by preferring their wishes above my wishes. In other words, obedience to your parents, it's one of the best ways that you can honor your parents. But there's a second way the Bible tells us that we can honor our parents, and that is with our possessions. Proverbs 3:9 says it like this: honor the Lord with thy substance. So, hey, we can honor our Heavenly Father with our substance, but we can honor our parents likewise with our substance. Perhaps the best passage for us to look at is Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with some hypocrisy amongst the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes. And we'll just read these verses quickly. Matthew 15, verses 1 through 7. And came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, why do ye also transgress, get this, the commandment of God by your tradition? Now, what commandment of God were they refusing to obey? Watch it. For God commandeth, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. Ah, but ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, hey, it's a gift. Other places it's called Corban. It's a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and you honor not his father and mother, for he shall be free, they say. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You say, what is going on? Well, here's what they did. Parents, they needed help from their children. They're getting older. They needed some help. So the commandment was, take care of your parents. Help them out in their time of need. So the priest came up with this rule. Now, wait. If you will designate your monies, your estate, to go to us, to go to the synagogue, then you can continue to use it for yourself, but not for others. So this gave the children an option out. Well, mom and dad, I sure would love to help you. I know you're hungry, and I know you need some clothing, but I've dedicated my estate to the church, so I can't help you. See, oh, it was going to be a blessing to those, because they could still use their monies. And it was going to be a blessing to the religious leaders, because they were going to get the inheritance. But the parents were left out in the cold. And Jesus calls them out on it. But in this passage, he is admonishing them that they are to honor their father and their mother, and they're to do it with their substance. Now, here Jesus says, you transgress the commandment of God. Turn with me, if you will, over to Timothy. In Timothy chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, he's addressing the church. And he's talking to the church how they should assist those ladies who are widows, widows indeed. And he also admonishes children how they're to take care of their parents, take care of their widow mother if there's the husband is gone. Notice how he says it, and here's our word honor, okay? Look at verse 3. I'm in 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 3. He says there, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, nieces and so forth, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite, that is to return to their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. In other words, he says, listen, you need to take care of widows, but wait a minute. If widows have children, then it's their responsibility, not the church's responsibility, to take care of their widows. And he goes on and explains it. Verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusting in God, continuing in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, he's talking about those widows that are living holy lives. They were to make sure they took care of them. And these things give in charge, that they might be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, but especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, he's worse than an infidel. So the idea here, we read and see that indeed, not only should the church, but also should the family honor widows with their possessions. And that moved me to make this purpose. We're talking about, okay, different ways that we can honor our parents. Honor them, yes, with our obedience to them, our submission, our preference towards them, but also we can do it with our possessions. I purpose to honor my parents with my possessions. Hey, but there's something else that we can honor them with, and that's with our promotions. And if you find, I give you 1 Chronicles. Now, you might have a little trouble finding Chronicles, but 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I give you illustration. We find the word honor there. David has been given the responsibility of collecting all of the materials to build the temple. That's for Solomon's job, his son's job. So here in Chronicles chapter 29, we see David's prayer and praise to God for enabling him to bring all of these things together. Let's just look at verse 10. He says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thy, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Now, he said all this, giving all this praise to God, telling him who he is, because the one who has honored him with these riches is none other than the Lord God. He says it like this, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. He is praising him that God had given him all this honor, all these riches. You and I, by giving others honor in not only preferring them, but by the possessions that we give to them and the position that we give to them in lifting them up, in promoting them before others. David knew it was God who promoted him. It was God who gave him riches and honor. And because he received this great promotion from God, he honored him. But one of the ways that God honored David was by the promotions that he gave to him. Let me show you something else. In the book of Esther. Now, in Esther, do you remember the story? well, there's a lot of stories in Esther. But one of the stories was how Haman wanted to kill Mordecai. And I'm going to pick up the reading in Esther chapter 6, verse 6. Because I want you to see in the mind of Haman what it meant to honor someone. Because we're trying to figure out, how can I honor somebody? How can I honor my parents? Yes, I can honor them, you know, with my possessions. But any other way, watch. How can I promote my parents? So Haman, verse 6, he came in. And the king said to him, what shall be done unto a man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now the king is thinking about Mordecai. Haman thinks he's thinking about him. So he's going to tell the king, oh, here's how you can honor him, thinking he's thinking about, oh, how can I lift up Haman? But he's thinking about, how can I lift up Mordecai? And the reason why he was doing this, because Mordecai had saved his life. And now the king wants to repay him, but watch. Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to honor more than myself? And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, here we go, let the royal apparel be brought which the king uses to wear. Give him some of the king's apparel, known to be worn only by the king. Yeah, put that on him. And the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. In other words, hey, give him this royal apparel, this horse, this crown, that is yours. Your great possessions. Give them to him. And thereby you're going to promote him. But that's not all. He says in verse 9, and let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princesses, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitting at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Oh my goodness. What's Haman to do? He's to go out, he's to array Mordecai with this apparel, with this horse, with this crown, and he's to lead the horse going before him, proclaiming, look at verse 11, and then took Haman the apparel of the horse, arrayed Mordecai, brought him on the horseback through the city, throughout the street of the city, proclaiming before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. And of course we know the end of Mordecai. He is promoted, but Haman is hung. But what am I trying to share with you? I'm trying to share with you a passage, an illustration of how one can be promoted with garments, with horses, with crowns. You can promote your parents in different ways. You can give them prestige. Let me show you a New Testament passage. In Hebrews chapter 2, watch how God the Father honors God the Son. Because the word honor appears here. How can we promote others? Well, watch this. This is kind of interesting. Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 6. Verse 6, Hebrews 2. But one in a certain place testifying, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Talking about God the Father. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Now, God put Christ in charge of everything. He set him up over all of his creations. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. God the Father promoted Christ by putting others in under his authority. For that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put yet under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, but suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. But the point I want you to see here is that God gave to his son glory and honor. It came in the aspect of him promoting him. He promoted him by putting others in subjection to him. Look at your purpose. You know, I purpose to honor my parents by promoting them before others. By honoring them. Yes, with your possessions, but you can honor them by just the authority that you give to them over you. And in the aspect of you can give a parent authority by goods. Also, it's giving them goods and authority over them. But finally, I want to talk to you about this. We can honor them with our praise. Psalm 71, verse 8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with praise and with all honor all the day." A very close connection to praise and honoring. Psalm 145, verse 5 says this, "I will speak of thy glorious honor, of the majesty and of thy wondrous works." In other words, David honored his father by speaking of his glorious attributes and his attitudes. We can honor our parents, even if they're deceased, by speaking about their good attributes and their actions. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, here's John's vision of God's throne. Here's what he says. "And the four beasts, and each of them, they had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever." So the four beasts in the days to come will give praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not just the beasts who are going to give honor to the Lord God Almighty with their lips, but also the 24 elders, who some believe that they represent the whole church. Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. "And the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." And then in Revelation 5, 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory and blessing." Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Listen, you and I can purpose to honor our parents with our praise. So, let's summarize this quickly. How can we honor our mother and father, father and mother? Well, by preferring them and their wishes over ourselves and our wishes. In other words, be submissive to them, be obedient to them. That's number one. You can do it with our possessions by being gracious with your goods. And if you find yourself low on goods, now when we're younger, we don't have a means to maybe buy things for our parents because we're on a shoestring. Many of us were anyway. But you can provide for them with your time, with your talents. You can go and do things around the house. You can go and do things around the and so forth. You can be a blessing in that way with your possessions, all right? Be they financial, be they wisdom, understanding, and strength, and so forth. And then thirdly, by our promotions. Say and do those things that promote your parents to a higher level than yourself. Give them authority over your life. I was in my 50s when we purchased the property that we presently live on. Now, there was three parcels of land. There was two parcels out back and then this parcel up here. So I said to my dad, giving him authority, honoring him, "Dad," and I showed him the plot land. I had the thing. I showed it, laid it out there. I said, You see what's lying. You see the things here. Here's the traffic line down here, because he wasn't up here. But I took the maps and all the maps down to him, and I laid it out there, and I said, what's one of these three plots do you think I ought to choose? And he says, son, I think you ought to take this one down front. I said, and he gave me the reasons for it. And it made logic to me, and that's the one I chose. I honored him. I'm 55. Can I make my own decision? Sure. But I honored him. Now, my dad and myself, we didn't always see eye to eye over the years. But he was a wise man, a lot wiser than I thought when I was a teenager. But I've shared with this congregation how my dad, he was a good man. Hardly ever said anything. Mom was a talker. But Dad, he'd come home, worked in the oil field. And if you carry a 2-inch pipe, 20 foot long, because I worked with him for the summers, for 4 summers while I was going to college, I found out about his job. But he worked. Come home. 4 o'clock. We'd eat 4:30. Load me up in the saw. And we'd go off and cut lumber. We'd do that till dark. That was to get me money to go to school. And he did that for, it was either at least 3 years, maybe 4 years. But that's my dad. And the kind of sacrifices made. Now, my mother, she was different. My dad only gave me one whipping. My mother, she gave me one a day. Now, probably more than that, but at least one a day. And I needed a few more than that. But my mother, she was so compassionate. She took in the down and outers in the neighborhood. She always, her whole life. She tried to teach me about compassion. I'm still working at it. But I'll tell you what, I had a tremendous example with my mother. What am I saying? Well, listen, we can promote them. The way we can promote them is by giving them authority over our life, even when they're older. And then, of course, the last one, by our praise, speak well of your parents. As I said, a lot of our parents are gone. Well, focus on the blessings that they were to you. And share those blessings with others. Because when you do, you know what you do? You honor your parents. I'm wondering if there isn't someone here today who you'd like to honor your parents by giving a testimony of an attitude, a positive attitude they had, or a positive action that they showed in your life that was very influential on you. And you would like to just give praise today as we close this service honoring our fathers and our mothers.